This is the MLW Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. I'm your host Strigger. I am with my man Dylan, and Dylan, it feels good to be back.
It feels spectacular to be back, Strigger. If you follow me on Twitter, you know I've been dealing with some injuries. I've been on the IR list right now. When it comes to an incident I had, 3 burst blood vessels in my eye, Strigger. But I'm still here, half red eye and all. Nobody can stop me from doing these shows. We've seen it in the past. I've worked injured. I've worked hurt. I've worked incapacitated nearly. And here we are again because I love wrestling, and I love the Eastern Lariat, and I love all the listeners. And I can't wait to be back. I can't wait to get back into this show. And we've got a big one today, too, with a lot of fun topics, a lot of big topics with the promotion, so I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, exactly. I was just gonna say, what a worker you are, man, working through injuries here. And well, if you have been following my Twitter too, you'll know that I had a lot of stuff going on, had to take care of personal and professional stuff in the past 2 weeks. So that's really led to me not being able to do a show, but as you've been sick too, I've been under the weather as well, so I hope we're back now, back with full force, and you already mentioned the listeners, Dylan. And in the meantime, when we were away, I got one question regarding the New Japan shows in the US, and that question we got from a listener by the name of Mike. And Mike asked, with the recent New Japan show selling out in 20 minutes, do you think it is possible for them to hold court in a 10,000-seater, and in what city?
You know, Strigger, I actually recently, on the most recent episode of Lucha Talk, which I did actually just a couple of days before this, I mentioned that when I saw that Rey Mysterio was announced for these shows on WrestleMania weekend and everything like that in California, obviously, it really felt like to me that they could definitely get to that 10,000 seat point on any show they wanted to run in America. Depending on the arena, obviously, you would run. That obviously has to have it. But I think that the way it sold out, the speed in which it sold out, without, and an important thing to note is that it was without a single match announced or anything like that. You know, this was purely on the brand name. So if you loaded up a card with a big show with an IWGP title match with a guest star like a Rey Mysterio, there's no doubt in my mind that this company could have easily ran a bigger arena. Or in the future when they do, I think they will be very successful.
Yeah, I think they are so hot right now that they could have done that. But I think when we talked about it, we once fantasy booked our New Japan US territory here on this show. We said taking it step by step wasn't the worst idea of them all. So maybe there was something to that. Mike also asked where to run this show. Obviously, you can't run a 10,000-seat arena in the middle of nowhere in Alabama or Wyoming or anything like that. You obviously would have to go to a big city and a big wrestling market like they did now with their show in California. And I think they could also run a big arena in Chicago or, for example, in New York or in the area around New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, at the East Coast, basically, they could run a big arena, I think.
You know, Striga, a wise man once told me, if you build it, they will come.
Exactly.
And I don't think that that necessarily is a huge factor, as some people think it is. I think wherever, if you have the arena that runs it, I think you'll get people there. I think this company's super hot right now. My only qualm with that, because I totally agree with what we said before about taking step by step, not the worst idea, but to me, when you bring in a Rey Mysterio on his salary that you're going to have to pay to bring in, that to me is taking it a step ahead, and that's where I maybe would have done some second guessing on that part. But I did have a conspiracy. Do you think that the Bullet Club, Cody Rhodes, Omega, some of these guys, do you think that they may have forced New Japan to not run 10,000 seats so they could do it first for the All In? Because that's the logical explanation behind this to me. That's what I was thinking when I saw Ray. I was like, why would you not do this?
I don't really think they have anything to say about that.
Like I said, I think they want it first, Striga. That's my conspiracy theory.
That's your... Okay. I don't know about that.
He's not selling a single ticket with Ray. Like, yeah, you're paying all this money for this dream match. I don't understand that.
On the Voice of Wrestling flagship, they brought up, I think Rich brought up the point that Ray wasn't brought in to sell tickets. Ray was brought in to get attention from the television viewers because the access show they have, they want to gain more viewers with that, and I think that's not the worst idea to go with Ray there.
But you can still do that and still sell more
tickets.
Yeah,
of course, you can do both. Yeah, that's true.
That's kind of how I feel about it. But not, I'm just kidding about that Bullet Club thing. But that is kind of the first thing that popped in my mind. I was like, when he was announced, I thought that... considering his high price, and I think everybody knows about that now, I like what they did with the matchmaking of his match, and I like what they've done with this tour in America to have this show. Actually, I do think that hopefully, I don't think it matters in terms of their drawing ability. I think if they ran this same arena again, they'd sell it out again in 20 minutes.
Yes.
But I would like to see them go to a different place besides the one that they've been to both times in America. I hope next time they come, I hope they go to a different city just for a variety standpoint, more than a business standpoint, if you catch my drift on that one.
Yep, I certainly do. So, we already talked about Long Beach here. That's going to be the Strong Style Evolved show on, I think, March 26, something around that. But before that, we have the New Japan Anniversary show, and we're going to talk about some upcoming big cards of New Japan, All Japan, and Pro Wrestling NOAH. And along the way, we're going to talk about some topics from recent weeks when we weren't able to do a show. That's basically how the show is going to be today. So starting here, Dylan, with the New Japan Anniversary Show, March 6th from Ota Ward Gymnasium. And in recent years, it has become a tradition again after it was used in the 90s as well, that the IWGP Heavyweight Champion is going one-on-one with the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. Last year we had a special match, I think. We had Okada versus Tiger Mask double. And this year we again have the Junior Heavyweight Champion against the Heavyweight Champion, with Okada challenging Will Ospreay to a singles match here. What do you think about this main event?
I think it's cool. I think they should always do the heavyweight champion versus the junior heavyweight champion once a year. That gives this show its own kind of identity for a main event without a big title match or anything like that. In terms of a defense, it's more like it gives it its own special identity. And I think that's something that you want on all of the big shows. And I like it. You know, it also kind of plays into the storyline. We saw Switchblade Jay White talk about it on Twitter, that it's kind of an in-faction match, and it's kind of like the only place or at least for now the first place that we've seen that kind of thing happen outside of the G1, obviously, or anything like that in a tournament scenario. So I really like the match. I think it's a unique match. I think it'll give Will a chance to do something different in his style of matches, and I think really my favorite match of his, and actually both men really, when you go to Okada and Will both, but I think I remember that match Will had with Katsuyori Shibata last year, and he had that was one of my favorite matches that he's ever had in Japan. And I think against a heavyweight style, against a different style of opponent, I think that'll really bring out the best in both men. So I'm really looking forward to it. What about you?
Do you think that, before I go into my thoughts about
the match,
do you think that this is going to be a test run for Will Ospreay as a heavyweight?
That would be interesting, because out of all the guys in the company, you know, he's not the most, in terms of well-built, you know, he's not the biggest guy. So I think that would be an interesting change. We've seen so much talk over the years with people like, all the way back to Kota Ibushi, obviously that paid off. Kenny Omega, that paid off. Kushida, it never really paid off that we've seen, and he's a bit bigger than Ospreay. I think if that's
true, but on the other hand, Dylan, Ospreay is bigger than Naito.
That is true. That he's a taller than Naito.
Yes.
I don't know about bigger.
Not bigger, taller. Yeah, but yeah, I think he also has a shot to become bigger than Naito too.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I think if that happens though, to see this foreigner become a heavyweight, and considering his style, I think that would mean, if that is the case, I'm not 100% convinced that's the case, but if that is the case, I think that means that they do have big plans for him, bigger plans than we would have thought coming into this year. Because I think if you're going to put all that stock in him as a heavyweight, I think that means they see a lot in him. And since he's got the title, I think that's definitely possible.
Yes, that's possible. But still, on the other hand, they have two other people moving up right now. They can't have too many guys moving up from the junior heavyweight ranks, because otherwise there's tabula rasa again in the junior heavyweight division, with Beretta moving on from the junior heavyweight tag team division to the heavyweights, and now apparently Taichi moving up too. So you have to be careful there. But I think somewhere down the road, there is a heavyweight role for Will Ospreay in New Japan. Maybe not this year, maybe in 2018. But yeah, so I like the match as well. I think it's a unique opportunity to see this match. Ota Wad is a special place for this. It's always the anniversary show where we see that. And Okada and Ospreay, I think they have great chemistry. Ospreay is basically a mini version of Katsushika Okada, or a junior version of Okada. Sometime in the past, he had used similar attire like Okada has, and so I'm really looking forward to this match as the main event of that show, and it's going to be a nice change from all those heavyweight title matches that Okada has been in recent time.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I will say this, I hope that they can keep the junior heavyweight title somewhat relevant and not just make it like an afterthought, you know, when it comes to that, because I think the division as a whole really needs a lot of a bit of a boost, I would say. And I hope that something like that doesn't happen, where he just goes to heavyweight, and kind of like Trent, how they made it, it was more or less like, hey, now you're in the big leagues, even facing Yujiro to start off. So that to me, I hope the junior division can get a bit of a bump out of whoever the champion is, whether it's Ospreay or however this match goes. I hope that he shows out well in this match.
Yeah, there are actually two talking points here I wanted to get into when discussing this match. First of which is, of course, Ospreay. You mentioned he's the junior champion right now. What did you think about the match at the New Beginning against Hiromu Takahashi and the outcome of it?
Now, this match, I actually, Ospreay to me, as I've said this before, in New Japan, he's not one of my favorite guys stylistically. He's just not really my style. And I didn't really like that junior match at the Dome. And this match was good in its style, you know, in its own way. I think Ospreay sometimes, he has a lot of quirks and things about him, similar to a junior Kenny Omega, that he has some quirks that really take me out of a lot of his matches. And when I saw that, I saw a lot of him in full force here. So I liked what Hiromu brought to the table a lot, and I thought it was a decent match. I think if you're a fan of Ospreay, you probably thought it was a really great match. But in terms of the result, I know everybody was mad at Hiromu losing and stuff, and obviously I want Hiromu to be successful too. But when it comes to Ospreay, he just won the title, kind of. I would rather see a longer title reign. When it comes to my title reigns, you see it when we talk about All Japan, we talked about the tag titles last time. I prefer longer title reigns than just flip-flopping the title, and the junior title's been flip-flopped all over the place recently, too. So I hope that they have a longer-term plan for this title.
Yeah, you know, the issue that I had with this match, or with the outcome of it, wasn't so much Hiromu losing. It was the timing of New Japan putting Hiromu in this position. Because
true,
he has now lost all three of the last junior title matches he had. Last one was with Kushida, summer of last year. Then he had the one at the Dome, and now he had the one at the New Beginning. He lost three in a row, and I didn't know why they had to do this match right now when they wanted to remain champion. I don't know.
Yeah, I
don't like the idea of that.
I think that's actually a great point. I really think this division, like I said, I think it really needs a bit of a boost when it comes to the booking right now. I don't see any of these guys really as stars, and especially not Hiromu. I think they've already done so much damage to him, it's like, what's one more loss, really? Like, he's not... I've said it a long time ago, he's kind of like a heel Taguchi to me. It's like, he's over, he wrestles great, so he just feels that role, and he just fills that role. It doesn't matter if he's win or losing to them.
Yeah.
And that's not how I feel. That's not how I would want it, but, you know, I think that's how they kind of look at it. And I think the booking has definitely made it very clear that he's not any sort of big star in this division with these losses. They didn't have to do it. It could have been anybody in this match when you think about it. But unfortunately, they went ahead with this because I think your point is totally true. The outcome, to me, I don't mind because I want Ospreay to win the title. But Hiromu, to me, is just going nowhere right now in this division, so that didn't even bother me, because it's like, even if he didn't lose, it's like he's still going nowhere. So, like, if he was in the undercard or anything like that, so it didn't bother me any, but I think your point's fair. If you still think that there's hope for him in terms of a big-time junior star or this division getting elevated, this was not the right decision, but that's what they did.
Yeah. Then I have a question for you. Could it have been anybody else but Sanada challenging Okada for the title? Because I don't think anybody was buying into Sanada having any kind of chance.
No, you're definitely right on that one. You know, I mean, we saw articles online with people trying to put over that there was some sort of chance of this. I definitely wasn't fooled by anything like that. I don't think the fans were in this title match, you know, but... You know, yeah, it definitely could have. It could have been anybody, really. When you think of Okada, the New Beginning's a show where we see historically, they always kind of throw, you know, sometimes it's kind of like just a weird challenger. Kind of like, it seems like Goto's challenge at the New Beginning like three or four times.
The most recent one he had, we all thought that now or never. and it was never.
It was
literally now.
yeah, it's literally never now, but they were saying that back in 2011 with Goto too.
I know.
So it's crazy how that works. But he always finds his way back up to that point of that now or never. This Sanada deal, you know, it was kind of a one-off throwaway challenge, I feel like. You know, it kind of fit the overall story they were telling with the Ingobernables and Chaos. Because they had all the singles matches, obviously, on this show. And it was just kind of his turn. And we see Naito and Okada, obviously, it can't be him. Evil was actually the last challenger, too. So from a storyline perspective, I think it actually made a lot of sense. But it could have been somebody else that they wanted. But considering it was Evil to Naito, Sonata was a good choice for this title shot, in my opinion.
Hats off to both guys that they were able to create doubt during the match. Because at one point, they had me believing that Sanada really had a shot.
Wow. I thought...
That's in the match. That's not before the match. That's not before the show. And I think that's the point. That's both a giant plus for New Japan and a giant minus at this stage, because nobody believed in the challenger. And usually if nobody believes in the challenger, there is no money in the challenger.
Yeah.
But they sold out the place like 2 weeks or 4 weeks in advance, which is a huge testament to the ability of champion Okada to draw a house, even if he's fighting a challenger that nobody believes is winning.
Also, Okada in this title reign, after he won the Tokyo Dome match unexpectedly, I think this title reign's got a lot of legs. To me, there was no way Sonata was winning just from a booking perspective or a logical perspective or anything like that, and Sonata to me isn't ready either. So there was no reason for Sonata to win this match, in my opinion. The fans, they brought them into the big finish, but they kind of do that in every big title match, you know, when it comes to the last big run. So I wasn't that surprised by it, but it was an okay match, I would say. Sonata, I didn't come out of this feeling like Sonata was a big star. Or he was on the uprise to where, you know, a lot of people always peg Sonata as the next kind of main eventer player, next main event player, and I've never really seen that in him, and I didn't really see it in him either, in this match either. So, but it was a solid little match, I would say, for a main event, 30 minutes long. They got all they could out of it. I'm surprised by that, you kind of were buying into this title match for Sonata. I think that's a good sign of them. But maybe I'm just too jaded when it comes to Sonata, because I never got to that point. Kind of like you last, like I said on the last episode when we were talking about Kai and Joe, you just never bought into that, and here I just never bought into that either. So that's kind of how I felt about that. But that's good. I think a lot of people actually in the crowd, they definitely won them over by the end. So I think that's a testament to their athletic ability and their in-ring ability that they have together, but you know, it just depends on what you feel about Sonata, I would say.
Yeah, on the topic of good little match or okay match, you mentioned both terms here in your description of this match. Let's go down this card, and going down from the main event, we have the IWGP IC title match between champion Minoru Suzuki and Togi Makabe. So after this great match Suzuki had with Tanahashi, he's basically back to being this brawling guy, this brawling heel. And with this brawling style, he has the perfect opponent to do this style right now. Because if Minoru Suzuki versus Togi Makabe is not a brawl, then there's going to be an issue with this match. They are going to run into problems if they are trying to recreate a 20 to 30 minute classic match that Suzuki had with Tanahashi. That's not going to happen. It has to be a 12 to 18 minute brawl.
You know, Makabe, he's someone that I definitely wouldn't say I'm a fan of, but he's got a popularity in Japan that makes him a worthy challenger when it comes to these titles or anything like that. You know, like you said, it's going to have to be some crazy stuff going on here, a lot of brawling, and that's really kind of Makabe's style, I would say. You could question how he delivers some of those brawling strikes that he has when he's in the ring. Suzuki will definitely deliver his end when it comes to the purely striking portion of that match. I think that there's actually I don't want to say a underrated chance of a title change, but when I saw this match, I thought, this to me totally sets up a match similar to last year, all those matches that I hated with Suzuki Gun run again. But I also think there's an underrated chance that because this match, this takes place, if I'm not incorrect, Striga, this takes place before the New Japan Cup.
Exactly.
Am I right?
Yes.
And I think there's an underrated chance that we could see the return of Tomoaki Honma.
Yeah.
Here, it's been teased in a while. And I think that would set up an impromptu title change here to get Suzuki in the New Japan Cup if they've been impressed by his work. This title reign, who knows? And it would be kind of like on the anniversary show, too. It's kind of like a time where you want to see a pop for a fan favorite like Makabe, who's not really done anything as much lately. But he's got popularity. He's on the TV show. He loves his desserts, Striga, so you have to give it up to him on there. I think there's an underrated chance we could see something where Honma gets involved and helps Makabe win, or at least evens the odds and lets Makabe get a surprise title change. I don't think there's a 0% chance of that. I think that's an underrated chance.
I certainly give Makabe a higher chance than I gave Zanada. That much I can say.
Well, that's not saying much. This title reign is not ending before he gets to that record, people. I've got news for you. I don't think any challenger, I don't care who it is.
Breaking news right here on the East Side. Lariat. Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Well, so we have a special singles match. Tetsuya Naito versus Taichi. And the two of them already had a match at the Taka versus Taichi, Taka and Taichi produce show in January. And we are going to talk about this show where that match happened in an upcoming show. But we have the match here again. And Tetsuya Naito went to Tokyo Sports and he complained about the booking. That he's been put in these nonsensical matches against an opponent that he already beat. How is that possible, Dylan?
That is true. You know, what did you say he said? Excuse me, you broke up a little bit.
He said that it is bad booking because he already beat the opponent.
Oh, well, that's definitely fair. I think that's actually a very fair criticism, you know. And he just beat him recently, too. But it was not in a New Japan show. This is a new Taichi.
Yeah.
Strigger. This is a heavyweight Taichi. So I don't know. I wasn't into that angle at all.
I was big time.
No. You like Tai Chi, though.
Yes.
Like, so.
And you know, I have an explanation why they did this match. Or why they are having this match. I think that Tai Chi is such a big scumbag that he politicked his way into this match.
That would be an interesting storyline. A very political wrestler that Tai Chi is, to try and politic his way. But I don't know, it just seems like more of a match for the show. Tai Chi will get heat, and Naito's super popular. And so I don't have a huge problem with this, really, in terms of a one-off match. We'll save our thoughts on the Taka-Tai Chi Mania match.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that this match will be fine, and it's just kind of a one-off thing. It's kind of funny, too, because, you know, leading into the Dome, everyone was saying something to the effect of, that Naito was for sure winning the title. We all thought that. And here we goes from main eventing the Tokyo Dome, one of the biggest shows in years for New Japan. He goes from that to Yoshihashi to Taichi.
Yeah.
So I think that's a little backwards, too, when you think about it. But, you know, it's just to keep Naito busy.
Exactly. Really, that's the one reason that these matches are happening. And, you know, we've been talking about Taichi in Suzuki-gun and Zack Sabre being the heavyweight, while Taichi is much bigger than him, being the junior heavyweight, which didn't really make a lot of sense. At least now, they are acknowledging that Taichi is a big boy, and that he's able to play in the big boy's game here right now, and now he has to show.
Do you really see a bright future for Taichi in the heavyweight division, though? Because when you look at this company, it's so stacked when it comes to the heavyweights. Like, when it comes to a G1, do you see Taichi getting into the G1?
Well, I certainly see much more of a shot with him than I saw with, for example, Wataru Inoue.
Oh, yeah, that is true. I kind of liked him.
Taichi is never going to be an Okada, but he has much more of a shot than, as I said, Inoue had back then. Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure can be successful, but it's worth a try, I think.
In a way, was in the G1 in the past too. So yeah. do not discount Yuji Nagata's pride students when it comes to that. But you know, Taichi, I don't know, man. Like I said, I think if we ran down this roster, I think even you would have to dig pretty deep to find people you want him over the G1 in.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm not going to try.
Come on, man.
Nope.
But it's just something fun. I guess it's an experiment that they're trying here. But I don't know. The only positive I could see out of this, really, before that, is that now he won't be in the Best of the Super Juniors tournament, and we won't have any of that Taka and Taichi 10-minute doing nothing matches that we had last year. So that's my one positive to take away from it. So I'm all for that. The angle that I think, if you're a Taichi fan, you may have loved that, Striga. But for me, I just wasn't into it. I'm sorry to say. But the match, I think,
so
would be okay.
Surprised, Dylan. Man.
The match could be okay, though.
Yeah, now we have another special singles match on this card because Evil broke his orbital bone at the Australian tour. He's out for a while. I don't know what that means for the tag team title run he has with Sanada. But now, Hiroki Goto is off the show. Oh, no, he's not off the show. He's in a six-man tag match here. Okay, he's still on the show. He was moved down the card because now it's Yoshihashi versus Sanada in a singles match. We're going to have this match again. They have great chemistry. It's going to be a very good match here.
Yeah, I love their feud, and it's still kind of... And I like, too, that they have a feud on this roster that's kind of... And this is the main one right now. I mean, you have others like Okada and Naito, obviously. But when it comes to Yoshihashi and Sanada, it really feels like a generational feud that you could have a match at any time, any year, and they could have a logical reason to fight each other. So, and like you said, the matches will be really good. I really enjoyed Yoshihashi's match versus Naito on the New Beginning show. I thought that was actually my favorite match of that whole show. But I look forward to this Sanada match, too. I think Sanada will get a win here. I was actually looking forward to the tag match, I have to admit, as well. Because I think that's an interesting... You know, I think you can give Yoshihashi and Goto a win here and set them up for a tag title shot. If Evil is able to come back, I hope they revisit these two teams. And I can actually see if Evil's prognosis is positive, that he'll be back soon, maybe a little bit sooner rather than later, I can actually see Yoshihashi getting the win to set up that tag title shot, too.
Yeah,
so
yeah, on the other hand, Sanada is coming off his loss with Okada. Both guys actually are coming off a loss against two big names. So it's certainly going to be interesting who gets the win here and who gets the second loss in a row.
I think it'll depend on if Evil's coming back and they want to set up a tag title shot, because I think they have more stake in Sanada than Yoshihashi in terms of how they pushed, certainly, how they pushed the two. But I would like to see Yoshihashi get the win when it comes to this, to set up a tag title shot, if Evil is coming back. It's a shame that he injured himself on that Australian tour.
Yeah, actually. Well, next up, we have yet another title match that Hiromu Takahashi is probably not going to win.
Uh-oh.
The fourth match on this card is the three-way match for the Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title. So we're back to doing three-ways, Dylan. Sho and Yo, they regained the championship from the Young Bucks in what I thought was a brilliant match.
Oh, that was really good, yeah. Totally awesome
match. They're defending against Hiromu Takahashi and Bushi, and I'm not sure why that is. But I can tell you why the third team is El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru, because they beat the champions in Osaka. And I thought, okay, well, nice little program here with Suzuki-gun and Los Ingobernables. And with Chaos, I meant. And, well, yeah, then they inserted Los Ingobernables 2 into the match.
A completely logical build to a straight up tag team title match, and they just went with this three-way match for some reason. I do think that there is a huge problem in this company when it comes to the titles in general.
There is a huge problem with with the tag titles especially.
Yeah.
Because they have no idea how to set up a tag team program.
You know, it's crazy. Like, they set up one perfectly with Kanemaru and Desperado, and now they have this three-way match just for no reason, just to get Takahashi and Bushi on the show, I would presume. And, you know, and like I said, really all the titles, when you look at them, I think really you could say pretty much every title besides the main title has something crazy attached to it. You have this with Ospreay and Hiromu with the singles juniors title. You have the tag titles. They had something going with Evil and Sanada. I really loved their match with Okada and Goto. We never talked about it. I thought that was a great match, too. It looked like they were getting off on the right foot. Now you have this injury, unfortunately. I'm sure it's a matter of time before we have three-way matches for those when Evil gets back. The Intercontinental title, you have Suzuki losing the NEVER title, then challenging for the bigger title. And then the NEVER title, you have their ball necklace match that Evil had. So there was no good with the titles.
Let's not talk about Evil versus Goto.
That was really bad. But I think Evil may have wanted to. I think Evil may have faked his injury just so he did. He wanted people to forget about that match. that's another conspiracy I have too on that one, because I think that would be the smartest thing for him. But the junior tag titles are one of the worst offenders when it comes to that, for sure. I just thought, with these flip-flopping of the titles anyway, they finally set up this one-on-one title tag title shot. You know, what can you say? Nobody likes it. You know, it's not like I'm saying, you know, I'm rewriting the book on bad booking here. I think this is something that nobody really likes. I think this made no sense. And it just shows you how worthless these titles really are. And that's kind of how I feel about the junior titles especially, is that they're really just something to play around with. And they're just here to get these guys on the show. And that sucks, because I think they could be more. And we saw that they could be more RPG and Young Bucks, so I don't know why. I don't know why they did this.
I don't know either. But we have three matches left here on this show. Hiroki Goto, as I mentioned, was moved to the third match of the show. It's now Hiroki Goto, Tomohiro Ishii, and Toru Yano against Juice Robinson, David Finlay, and Toa Henare. And Henare and Ishii, they have great chemistry. They have been on fire in those multi-man matches recently. So I am really hoping for a New Japan Cup appearance of Henare in a first-round match against Tomohiro Ishii.
Oh, totally. I love what they bring to the table. I love what Henare brings to the table. When you look all the way back to that tag league at the end of last year, it looked like he had taken a real step forward with some of his performances.
He did,
And when you look at him and Ishii, it's something that it's a natural opponent. Their styles complement each other well. Henare could totally hang. He's proving that he's not this young lion anymore, that he can hang with these dudes. And I that's really the main matchup of this match. But I also would like to give credit to Finlay, who I think has had a really good program with Jay White. And recently they had a good match, good interactions in the trios match. I think Finlay's always been underrated on this roster. He's always been someone that I thought, when they really did push him that one time, teaming when he was the replacement guy for Matt Sydal, I think he totally did a great job. And ever since then, unfortunately, he's just kind of had nothing going on with him. But he's someone I think has a lot. If they wanted to, he could be on that level of a Yoshihashi 2 years ago, Juice last year. You're kind of seeing a little bit with Beretta, Taichi of all people this year. I think Finlay could be right on, do a great job in that kind of push.
Yeah,
if they gave it
he has always shown that he will be right there when they need him. You mentioned the program that he had with Jay White now. I really liked this match, and I absolutely loved the aftermath of that match, because they have been in the dojo together, him and Jay White, that is. And after the match, Jay White picked up David Finlay, and for a split second, it looked like he was taking care of his beaten-down opponent, but then something switched in Jay White's head, and he became the merciless killer that he's supposed to portray. And that was a great angle, I thought.
And I love the finish with the elbows.
Yeah.
Now that
he's been using that on all tour matches against all young lions.
Hey, listen, Jay, he listens to the show. Yeah. I told him that finish sucked, and he's got a way better one now with the elbow strikes. That totally is awesome. And his match with Finlay, like you said, he did a great job. I think Finlay did a great job in that match too. Like I said, though, I think he played his role very well too. I think he has a lot of fire. And he did a great job when it comes to this trios match. I would love to see, too. I think Finlay and Henare as a tag team could be really good if they paired them up for a long-term tag run. I think that's another tag team you could have that could be just... These guys clearly are not on the radar for a big singles push. Put them in a tag team. Let them do something in the tag division. I think they could be a great addition to the tag scene in New Japan.
You know, Juice and Finlay had something going on as a tag team late last year before they paired Juice with Sami Callihan, which was really unfortunate because I really wanted to see the tag team in the tag league. Then Finlay got the team with Kitamura. Oh well, I still hope there is some future for this tag team.
Maybe say six-man titles, maybe.
Maybe. And second match of this card is Manabu Nakanishi versus Katsuya Kitamura in the final trial series match of Kitamura. And it's the second time, actually, that he faces Nakanishi now during this trial series, because Kitamura wasn't able to have his match with Satoshi Kojima because he tore his ACL. Yeah. I think it's really a little unfortunate that Nakanishi is in here twice, especially because he's so broken down.
Yeah, of all people.
I have the perfect match that they should have put in this position here, Dylan. I think Kitamura should have faced Ishii.
Yeah, that would have been awesome if they would have had that. Man, Kitamura is totally standing out in this trial series, too. That match with Nagata was really great.
Oh, yeah.
That he had. What can you say about Nakanishi and Kitamura here? It's just one of those things. Nakanishi, he's another one of these guys. He has popularity in Japan. He's made TV appearances before. He's very famous. In the ring, like you said, he's pretty broken down at this point. But hopefully Kitamura can bring something out of him. They can at least do some hard-hitting stuff. I think that's the most you could hope for out of this match. Maybe a little hard-hitting action. Do you think Kitamura finally gets a win here at the end of his trial series?
I can't see that, because they clearly are getting behind Kitamura, and they have to, because he's not in his early 20s anymore. So I can see that, yes.
Yeah, I think it would make perfect sense. And like you said, you're going to have to push him a little faster than if you want that, if you see that in him, which I think that a lot of people do, not just New Japan. I think a lot of people see a big star potential with him.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. if you want to do that, I think a win here would be perfectly fine. You know, it's not hurting Nakanishi any to lose to Kitamura here. So
finally, first match, opening match, Hiroyoshi Tenza, Yoshin Thunder Liger, Tiger Mask, Kushida, Ryusuke Taguchi, face Yuji Nagata, Tomo Yukioka, Shota Umino, Tetsuhiro Yagi, and Ren Narita. So it's Uncle Nagata and his boys. And I've been noticing that Tomo Yukioka has gained more muscles recently, which is good for him, because they clearly see something in him as well, but they are now focusing on Kitamura more, because Oka is still in his mid-20s, he has more time to develop here, but yeah, they got a lot of young lions on the card, so it's a good card overall, nothing spectacular, not an outstanding card, but a card with a very good main event, and some matches that are promising in the mid-card.
Yeah, totally, and you've got the IC title match in there, too, so you get a kind of a big match, even in the storyline perspective, and yeah, I'm looking forward to a lot of those matches. I think it should be a good card.
Yep, exactly. So, let us turn our attention to All Japan Pro Wrestling, Dylan, because they all also have a big show coming up, and sadly...
All right.
Sadly, there are not many matches announced at this point. Right now, we are halfway through the Junior Battle of Glory as we are taping this, so we can't really comment on anything happening in the Junior Battle of Glory, because I don't know. Have you seen any matches yet? I haven't.
No, I didn't even know it aired yet.
Yeah, there was a Nico Nico airing from Valentine's Day, from February 14, that already made air. But I'm not sure if the Kurikan Hall show from February 13 had aired yet. I'm going to find out as I speak. Yeah, but we have this Saitama Super Arena Convention Center show coming up on March 25. And I just saw that the opening day of the Junior Battle of Glory is airing a few days after this show here that we are taping airs,
okay.
So we can't talk about that. But what we can talk about is the card that we have for Saitama as we speak. And that is, in the main event, Joe Doering versus Kento Miyahara. What do you think about this match, and who do you think is going out as the champion?
Should be really good, I think, when it comes to those two. In the past, they've had good matches together. I remember their match last July that actually was really good. The crowd really bought into Joe at that time. And in terms of who wins, I really hope that Joe continues this title reign just because he's so awesome, basically, in this title reign. I really love what they've done here. And I also love, too, one of my favorite things when it comes to world title reigns in general, is, and we saw it with Okada, to switch to New Japan a little bit, last year, when they started him out, I love when you have guys with different styles wrestle for the title. And I think that's something here, you know, when you look at someone like Zeus, Kai, and Kento Miyahara, they all have three distinctly different styles of matches that they are going to wrestle against Joe. And I think sometimes when it comes to these main event matches, we see sometimes things become a little bit homogenized, and things kind of just, you just wrestle the same style, same 30-minute main event match over and over. We saw it in Noah in the past, and some of those matches were great. And this Okada reign, some of his matches were really good too, but it's just kind of the same kind of match over and over. So I'm really excited about this Miyahara match, because I think it's a different style of match than he had with Zeus or Kai, or Yoshitatsu for that matter. So in terms of who's going to win, I think that there's no reason for Kento to win with the Champions Carnival coming up, and I think he's a favorite to win that. I think that it would be more logical for Joe to win, and then Kento to win the Champions Carnival.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Same here. Yeah. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this match. Should be great again, as you pointed out. Should be vastly different than the other matches that Joe had here. So yeah, it's going to be a good match. And much like the Yokohama show, they are really they're really banking on the drawing power of their Triple Crown match here.
Yeah, definitely.
It still is a month to go, yes, but they only announced this match, and the other match they announced is not a draw, in my opinion. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how much this does. Second match we have here on this show that is announced as of yet is a special six-man tag match. So, I'm not sure. I think we did, but I'm not sure. I think we mentioned it on our last show that Yusuke Okada is now officially a member of Evolution with Zuwama. Mm-hmm. Zuwama finally accepted him in Evolution. And now Hikaru Sato has also rejoined Evolution, as they phrased it. So these three guys will go one-on-one with the Hagure IGF International Goon, or whatever they are called, of Katsuyuki Fujita, Kendo Kashin, and Nosawa Rongai. What a match.
Can I ask you a question, Stricker?
I don't know.
Why?
Maybe.
Why is Nosawa teaming with these shooters? I've never known. Does Nosawa have any kind of, like, Enochism background that we don't know about? Because he doesn't really fit in with those two.
Well, how does Nosawa fit in with Atsushi Onita?
He doesn't either. They're both kind of like sleazy.
The
like
connection here is that Nosawa doesn't fit in anywhere and is still booked everywhere.
Well,
that is the explanation right here.
Sure. So, yeah, you know, I don't know. I know you don't like Fujita.
No.
But I just try to take that out of it. Do you think, and the answer could be no, that's completely fair when you consider it's Fujita, but do you think that there's any sort of drawing power that Fujita versus Suwama match has eventually? Do you think there's a fan base for that match?
No.
A significant. Oh, okay.
Not a significant fan base, no.
Okay, that's fair. I actually kind of agree with you, so I understand that. I was happy to see that Sato aligned. I mean, I kind of knew it was coming. I think that whole angle of him not really accepting right away was just so they could have that match on Valentine's Day when it comes to All Japan. And then, obviously, Sato reunited with Suwama. That's cool. I remember, do you remember the angle last year when Evolution broke up? Joe turned on them and everything?
Yeah.
And Sato and Joe had that match in the Odo tournament in the first. I thought that was really awesome.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of passion that Sato has for Evolution can be played upon in this match, and now you have the young guy in here who has a lot of potential. I'm a huge fan of his, so I think that's a great faction, and hopefully they can get the best out of the IGF faction, which is not a great faction by any sort of stretch of the imagination, even with Big Kendo in there. Unfortunately, he's not enough to save the IGF, whatever you call them. Goon.
Wait a second, they are also going to have a show on April 4 in Shinjuku Face. It is Hagure IGF International. That's the group that they called themselves. And they announced two matches. One match that is actually going to be pretty good, I think, is Masaki Mochizuki defending the Tokyo World Heavyweight title against Rocky Kawamura on that show.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And the other match is from the booking bot, because it is Masada versus Arcángel de la Muerte.
Oh, no. Yes, no. Let me say this. The booking bot, definitely one of the best follows on Twitter.
Definitely.
So I think that's the main positive of that, because this match will be truly terrible if anyone watches it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they got that. But back to All Japan. So these are the two matches that are announced, but there's probably going to be another one, because Takao Mori is returning to action here in Saitama. And he already mentioned that he would like to face Jun Akiyama and Yuji Nagata, who are the reigning All-Asia Tag Team Champions. Because, if you go back, Takao Mori was the World Tag Team Champion with Akiyama back in January, when they lost the belts to the Violence Giants. And now, Akiyama just has a new partner, and maybe Omori is a little salty about that. So, who do you think could be Omori's partner here?
It's the return of Get Wild, baby.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
That could be cool.
Or, you know, hell, it might just be Nomura again, the way All Japan's booked lately.
Well,
have Nomura have another partner.
Yeah.
I hope it's Get Wild, though. Well, I hope we see Soya back.
Let's hope for Get Wild, yeah.
Yeah, that would be good. You know, Omori, I've always been a fan of his, so it's good to see him back. He really only had a brief hiatus anyway with his injury, but whatever the match is, it should be pretty good. I'm really super into this Akiyama Nagata tag title reign, and I definitely hope we see some more great matches between these two. And I think I think too that if it is Get Wild, if Manabu Soya does come back to team with him, I think that's kind of a cool story, that it's kind of like the All Japan team got broken up, but it's also two prior tag teams from years ago that are fighting each other in the Akiyama Nagata and Get Wild. So I would really enjoy that match. That's my prediction.
Yeah, that would be cool. Very cool, yes. Yeah, so that's the card as we know right now. There's nothing much else to talk about here, about this show. One thing I want to mention about the Junior Battle of Glory is that they had a show in Kirkland Hall recently on February 13, which was headlined by a match of the juniors here, when the returning Shuji Kondo beat Atsushi Aoki in Kirkland Hall. It was a weekday show, but they broke the 1,000 fans barrier. So why promotions are doing this is because Kirkland Hall is much cheaper on weekdays than it is on the weekends, obviously, because on the weekends there is a high demand, and you can break even a lot quicker on weekdays than on the weekends. And so they try something similar to what Noah did on the February 22nd show, where they just had the juniors headline their show. All Japan did this year too, with Kondo and Aoki. I'm really looking forward to see Kondo back in All Japan, because he really came to his own when he joined All Japan back in the day, and he became this big force in the junior division with them.
He's gotten a big push too in the Junior Battle of Glory. Yeah. He's gotten some big wins. He just destroyed Okada today.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So he's looking good. I could definitely see him getting a junior title shot in the future. Yeah, he's good. He's actually really kind of underrated. He's someone that, if you're a newer fan, he's not as big of a name as if you started watching what I did. Because when I started watching, he was one of like the biggest juniors in the country that I thought. He was also in Voodoo Murders, though, so that means that me and him will always have a grudge.
And I always have a special connection with Shuji Kondo, because I believe he was in the first, back in the day, it still was Toriyomon. It wasn't even Dragon Gate. I think he was in the first Toriyomon match that I ever saw, in the El Numero Uno finals, I believe, against Dragon Kid, which was an amazing match back then.
Oh, man, that match was awesome.
Yeah.
I totally remember that, yeah. And Kondo, he's someone, too, that he always stood out in those kind of more high-flying style of opponents that he had. He's a big power junior, obviously. He's kind of like, you know, Shingo in a lot of ways in Dragon Gate. He's kind of that same style. You know, his big move is the big lariat that he hit.
The King Kong lariat.
Yeah, the King Kong lariat, of course. You had Whale Hunt. I love that move that he had. He's actually got a lot of cool moves that he does, too. If you look at a pure moveset wrestler, similar to Kotaro Suzuki, I think Kondo has one of the best movesets. And he has that really cool reverse cloverleaf, too, that he does, that that gorilla clutch that he has. So that's a really cool move. He's got a lot of cool moves, really.
He does. So as you just mentioned, the name Shingo Takagi, that directly brought my attention to the Champion Carnival lineups, because we have them now. And let's just go through some of the big shows, because Shingo Takagi is going to be a part of that in Block A. And for the opening day in Sendai Sun Plaza Hall, they have a pretty big show announced here, or pretty big matches announced for this show. For example, it's going to be Tsuyoshi Kikuchi's 30th anniversary match. We talked about him in our last show, go back to the strange ways of Kikuchi.
That crazy old bastard.
Yeah. It's Ultimate Dragon against Tsuyoshi Kikuchi. And then we have four matches in Champion Carnival, Block A, Yuji Hino versus Shuji Ishikawa, also Block A, Shingo Takagi versus Kento Miyahara, and two Block B matches in Akiyama versus Dylan James and Zuwama versus Zeus. So, four big matches here for the opening day in Sendai. And then what else is there? The debut, the re-debut of Naomichi Marufuji is actually going to be against Yoshitatsu in Nagaoka on April 10. And then we have a show here in Hakata Star Lanes on April 15 with Joe During against Ryuji Sai, Shuji Ishikawa versus Kento Miyahara, Shingo Takagi versus Yuji Hino, and Zuwama versus Jun Akiyama. Also pretty big matches lineup for this one. And then we have two weekend shows actually in Osaka. April 20, Joe During against Shingo Takagi, Naoya Nomura versus Ryuji Sai, Yuji Hino versus The Bodyguard. That's probably going to be the main event. Oh no, that's not going to be the main event on that show, because they have Zeus versus Naomichi Marufuji. But the two Osaka guys in big singles matches on this show. And on this show, I think Zeus is getting the main event. And on the second show, I'm positive that The Bodyguard is going to get the main event, because he's facing Shuji Ishikawa at that show.
Yeah.
Then we have on this show as well Shingo Takagi versus Ryuji Sai, Zuwama versus Naomichi Marufuji in a very, very, very interesting match. Zeus versus Jun Akiyama too. But Zuwama versus Naomichi Marufuji. In a lot of those matches, especially when it comes to the All Japan originals, quote unquote, or the homegrown talent with All Japan, I'm very interested in how Naomichi Marufuji is going to be booked against those guys, against guys like Akiyama, against guys like Zuwama, against guys like Kai, who, of course, is not under contract, but he still is an All Japan original. What do you think about Marufuji's role in this Champion Carnival?
I think that when you think about this, too, the match that I think really stands out, that we'll really be able to tell a lot about, is him versus Akiyama, because it's almost kind of like, you know, the president of one company versus the vice president of Noah or whatever. And that match with Suwama is a first-time match with Marufuji, you know? A match like that, I think that's a very interesting match. When you look at the originals of All Japan, I just think, really, Marufuji, he got so much buzz when he was announced for this, and I think it's such a big deal that he's in this tournament, and it really is a big thing. I think you have to protect Marufuji, even against the originals. I think you should pick one that you... I kind of outlined this last episode, but I think you should pick one that you want to go over him and one that you want to go over him in the other block, or maybe just one that you want to go over him for one big match if you want someone else to make the finals. To me, I think you should definitely protect Marufuji and give him a good push in this tournament, because not only, you know, the originals is one thing, but also maybe Marufuji will work with All Japan more in the future, and you have to keep that there. So I think Marufuji should get a big number of wins in this tournament, and I still stand by that.
Yep. Same. That Akiyama match, that is happening on the first of three Kurken Hall dates that are closing out the Champion Carnival for this year. Before that, they have the show in Nagoya on April 22nd. There they have Marufuji versus Kai, Suwama versus Yoshitatsu, During versus Miyahara in their rematch, and Ishikawa versus Ruji Sai. And for the two Kurken Hall shows, the two remaining group stage Kurken Hall shows, that is, April 25, the aforementioned Marufuji versus Akiyama match, they have Zuwama versus Dylan James, Yoshitatsu versus Yutaka Yoshi, and Shingo Takagi versus Oya Nomura. And also April 29, Shuji Ishikawa versus Shingo Takagi in a match that I'm really looking forward to. They have
That'll be awesome.
Yes,
that'll be awesome.
Definitely, they have Ruji Sai against the Bodyguard, Kento Miyahara versus Yuji Hino in another match that is very promising, and Joe During against Naoya Nomura. So this tournament is stacked. They have four or three Champion Carnival matches on each show. That gives those matches a lot of potential time. And I think the other matches are going to be tag matches and six-man tag matches. So It's going to be a great tournament, I think.
Oh, for sure. I'm so psyched for this tournament. I think it's going to be just a great tournament and a lot of interesting... When it comes to the booking, it's interesting, really, not just in All Japan, but in multiple different companies when it comes to how this tournament ends up getting booked with the participants they have in it. But I'm really excited about it, Striga. I think this is just going to be great. And there's so many different intricate storylines when it comes to both blocks. And both blocks are so unique in their own ways. They're different in their own ways. You know, you have Marufuji in Block B, and there's tons of intrigue with that. And you have Shingo and Yuji Hino in Block A that has the outside influence. And there's just a ton of stacked matches in that block. So anybody that's watching All Japan or following All Japan has to be happy with this lineup and seeing what they're doing here. And I also just want to say one more thing, too, the kind of thing to look out for if you're new to All Japan or new to Japanese wrestling or tournaments in general. As we mentioned earlier, the Joe and Kento title match, I think it's another thing that just kind of keys into that matchup that Joe would beat Kento in that match is that Kento gets his rematch in the Champions Carnival, and that's an obvious win for Kento. Otherwise,
or a draw, as I pointed out on the show.
Yeah, true.
A couple of weeks ago. Yeah,
true. Totally.
So much for the All Japan part of this show. We talked about the return of Marufuji to All Japan Pro Wrestling, but he obviously also has a story going on in his home promotion of Pro Wrestling Noah. And Dylan, you specifically asked me to talk about Noah because you want to give your opinion on the Kenno versus Kento, the Kenno versus Yuka Miyamoto match.
Now, Kenno and Kento Miyahara, that would be a heck of a match if they ever wanted to do that.
It would be.
But no, now this show here, I the whole show is really, you could easily blow through it because my problem with these Noah shows lately is the matches are pretty good and all, but sometimes the matches on the undercards are all clipped.
Yeah.
And they're just not having a lot of time. Thankfully, the next show, they're going to have a big time window for their next big show.
Yeah.
We'll talk about
me about it, yes.
Yeah, so thankfully we'll have that going on. This stuff had good stuff in the undercard. We even saw it I think my favorite part of the undercard was the six-man, because we saw Minoru Tanaka hitting a 450 splash on Leona in their six-man match, which is always fun. Yes, it's always fun to see Leona get beat up in these matches. But Tanaka's awesome. I can't wait for that match. We'll talk about it a little bit later. Now, the main matches on this show, we'll talk about the main event, but there's also another match I wanted to talk about a little bit that I think is very interesting. And how they're booking this individual, particularly, was, we just mentioned Marufuji. On this show, he faced Kaito Kiyomiya in a one-on-one match. And it was probably the only other match that was kind of like, you know, you really want to go out and watch.
Yeah,
you know,
I was on that topic. I was kind of disappointed by Hayata versus Hitoshi Kumano.
Yeah, that's true. That was the match right before it, too. That was the number one contenders match for the junior title.
And it didn't really... It started, then they had a good middle portion of the match, and then it just ended.
Yeah, it was like a decent little match. Yeah. It could have been.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. You know, and Hayata getting the title shot, not the tag titles, but the singles title shot, I definitely think that match could have been more. We've seen Kumano in that tag team with Ohara. I think that's really a lot. And Kumano's had great performances against someone like Minoru Tanaka in the past. And Hayata, he had a great match with Ohara, too, last year. So you really want to see these guys do a little bit more on that end, too. So good point on that one, Striga. I completely agree with you. But right after that, we had the seventh match of the show, which was Marufuji and Kiyomiya. Mm-hmm. And it was good for what they did. I thought it was probably the second match of the show. The only match that you, besides the main event, that you really want to check out, I would say. Really, nothing was bad, by the way. Like, if you watch it, you won't hate yourself or anything. But even that match with Hayata and Kumano wasn't bad.
No, it's an absolutely decent show, but there's nothing that really stood out to me.
Yeah, exactly. And even this match with Marufuji and Kiyomiya, it was good, but it wasn't a blow-away match like we saw with Kiyomiya.
And it went 16 minutes.
Yeah, it seems like they really could have had a great match, you'd think, but it just didn't come together on this show. I think a big thing here, too, after the match, we had Marufuji trying to help up Kiyomiya, but Kiyomiya just kind of, you know, did his punk move and pushed him away. It reminds me of last year, where this year we're talking about Kiyomiya after that Kendo match. That, to me, was my favorite match of January. That was one of my favorite matches. I thought it was an amazing performance. This guy felt like the new star, you know, when it comes to Noah. And it seemed like he had a lot of upside coming then. And what do we have now? We have him dropping more singles matches in a row here.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of last year where we had Kotoge.
Yes.
He had that amazing tag match. And right away, they had him lose four or five singles matches in a row.
Yeah.
And that pretty much took all that shine away.
It took a lot of shine from Noah the Reborn in the early stages last year that they burnt through a lot of their big singles matches very quickly. And I'm looking at Kiyomiya's singles match history since returning to Noah right now in early January. Mm-hmm. In these couple of weeks, he had two singles matches against Kenno. He had a match against Andrew Everett, which he won. He had a match against Masaki Tamiya, he lost. He had a match against Sugiura, which he lost. He lost to Marufuji, as we just talked about. Then he beat Hitoshi Kumano, and now in Yokohama on March 11, he's out of nowhere facing Go Shiozaki.
Well, that just goes... Look at that. Everyone besides two juniors, he's lost to every one of his heavyweight opponents.
Yeah.
You know? So... That, to me, just, if you have this tons of momentum with this guy, why are you doing this?
It's kind of half-assed, you know? On the one end, you want this guy to be your next guy, but on the other hand, you're not committing to it because he's not ready to beat, or in storyline at least, because he's still a young guy, in storyline he's not ready to beat those guys yet. That's not the way you go. You have to go in either one of those directions.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree with you. It's not, you know, like I said, when you look at the big stars of the past, this wasn't how they were built up, you know, when it comes to Noah in particular. So, you know, it's just one of those things. I didn't really like I don't like how they're pushing him right now. I think that's a kind of a mistake they're making when it comes to that. I think a win over Marufuji would have been great for Kiyomiya here. And it might have even had a cherry on the top for the match itself. It made it a little better.
And also, with Marufuji doing this outside commitments with All Japan, I don't see him in a big role in Noah, at least not in April, May here. So
he could That's have, completely true.
Could have easily got his win back later this year in the Global League.
Oh, man, that's a completely great point on your part, Striga. He's leaving for... And pretty much all of April, and why, you know, him losing here would not have hurt him at all. It would have helped Kiyomiya more. So that's just the thing. That's the one thing I've noticed with the booking, and I feel like they're just falling into the same trap we saw last year. And the thing is, all of last year, Noah was a really fun company to watch up and down the card, but it's just people gave up on it because it felt like they were going nowhere.
Yeah, and you know, they're trying a lot of different things. They're trying with these four-way matches they have at the, for example, at the show in Shinjuku Face on February 16th, they had a tag match in the main event in which Maro Fuji and Kotoge beat Kenno and Takashi Sugiura. Those two, Kenno and Sugiura, they are A, a tag team, but B, they are facing each other for the GHC heavyweight title. So they kind of got in the way of each other, and Kotoge was able to roll up Sugiura with a Kido clutch. That led to Sugiura and Kenno having a special singles match, an impromptu match, which ended in a double KO in 4 minutes. And then they are trying these four-way prelude matches in the tag division or in the junior tag division, where they pack all the participants, the contenders, and the champions into one four-way. It's kind of intriguing, but those four-ways, much like ladder matches in companies like New Japan, they never really are that exciting.
Man, I'm not down with the four ways at all. No. You know, when it comes to that, I'm totally against that. I actually really like that main event booking. I thought that was a totally fresh and unexpected angle.
Yeah.
To set up that Kenno and Sugiura match, and it gave Kotoge an upset win. It sets up a next challenger if you want to give him that. Even though it was just a roll up, it was still a really unexpected win. And the idea that they have this impromptu match because they hate each other so much, they're like, forget the title. You know. I love that. I think that's awesome, and I think that match will be really amazing when they have that Kenno and Sugiura match. I'm super psyched for that. But the multi-man matches in the junior division was well booked all of last year. That's the one thing they don't really need to mess with too much when it comes to Noah. So I'm not a fan of that at all when it comes to the multi-man matches. But I like the main event booking of Sugiura and Kenno. I think that's going to be a great match. But you know, I think that really should bring us to the main event of this show, Noah with Kenno and Miyamoto. Now, this match here, much like I said with Joe, the thing I liked most about this match was that it was a different style of opponent and a different style of match than you'll see Kenno have against someone like an Eddie Edwards or a Kaito Kiyomiya. This brought in the tables and the hardcore stuff that Miyamoto obviously brings in, and they had a callback to what really started all this, where Miyamoto hit the Fire Thunder Driver through the table, and he did it in this match too. But actually, he tried it too later on in the match, and that was also his downfall because he got countered.
That was such a great storyline element here, that the second table backfired on Miyamoto. That really was great. First table that he threw Kato through with the Fire Thunder, that looked brutal.
Oh, that was a great-looking spot, I thought. That looked totally devastating, you know. And I thought it was great, too. I would have loved if they had teased a count-out win for Miyamoto, because I think that would be a great storyline to really... Because I think everyone kind of figures that Kenno would win. So I think giving a possibility of a kind of a cheap or a disputed finish would be a good way to go. But yeah, the tables, I thought that was totally cool how they played that into the match. And in the end, we saw a great, speaking of a brutal spot, we saw a dragon suplex on the apron from Kenno to counter. So that definitely evened the odds, so to speak, let's just say that. And he hit that big double foot stomp through the table and hit another one in the ring to win. I thought that was kind of like, you do these crazy moves and then it just ends with a regular double foot stomp to win, you know. That's a little anticlimactic, but I thought it was a good match and I thought there was good storytelling in it. And most importantly, I most importantly love that it's a different style of match. Similar to what All Japan's doing with the Triple Crown, Noah is doing a great job of separating all kinds of different matches for Kenno. And we're seeing that continue with Sugiura, because we go from this hardcore match with a lot of tricks and, you know, a lot of tricks and crazy stuff like that. And before that, we had the kind of generational young guy coming back feud. now we just have a hate-filled feud with Segura. I think that's a great match type that you could see a whole different kind of story told in that big match. So I really like the booking of the main title. Right now, I think that's the highlight of the company. But some of the under guys, you know, I think there's a little bit of shakiness showing right now. They're falling into some old ways. And the multi-man tag, I totally don't approve of at all when it comes to the junior division. I think the junior division has a lot of great parts on its own, and you don't need these kind of tricks on the undercards, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you, what you said about Miyamoto and Kenno. Mm-hmm. Good match with a very well played out storyline here with a table brought into the main event, which is pretty unique for a main event in Noah.
Yeah, totally. It made Kenno look super crafty, too. It's kind of like he beat him at his own game.
Exactly. Unlike a man called Yusaku Obata.
Let's not talk about that.
A story for a different time. Because, Dylan, you mentioned the match. Let's go to Fist King versus Killing Machine in the main event of Great Voyage 2018 in Yokohama. We're going in from the bottom to the top here now, so a different way than we did for New Japan. In the opening match, we have Leona versus Yuta Miyawaki, the newest rookie that Pro Wrestling Noah has. I think that should be an easy win for Leona here.
I want Leona to lose again.
No. Get on the Leona bandwagon, damn it.
I would say I like Leona. But I will say that I think he's a lot better than he used to be. He's perfectly average. And even when he's bad in a way that kind of makes us laugh, you know? So I think that's a good thing about that. But
listen. A lot of wrestlers would give a lot for being perfectly average.
That is a great point on your part, Striga. And like I said, even when he's bad, it's kind of in an amusing way, you know?
Yeah.
But Miyawaki, he's a young guy. Like you said, it'll probably be an easy win for Leona here. And it's good that Noah's getting more young guys when you talk about that.
Tadasuke and Yohei versus Hajime Ohara and Hitoshi Kumano in a match that is probably going to set up the next junior heavyweight tag team challenger. And I gotta say, Dylan, as of late, Tadasuke really gained a lot of fans in Pro Wrestling Noah. He also had this 222 show in Kirken Hall that was headlined weirdly by this junior prelude match where Daisuke Harada and Tadasuke beat Hayata and Yohei. Tadasuke was able to score both pinfalls with his Outcast finishing move. So Tadasuke, he is now a part of Pro Wrestling Noah, and the fans accept him as such, which is great for this guy.
Man, I've really been impressed with Tadasuke ever since his title match against Harada. I think he stepped up big in that match, and he's continued to step up going into 2018. I love what he brings to the table. I'm totally on the Tadasuke bandwagon. I think he's a great addition to the junior division. When it comes to Noah, I think really Noah in general has a really great and very varied junior division. Obviously, Ratels is a great faction as well. And Tadasuke and Yohei is a very random version of the... It's kind of like one of the most random versions of the group when it comes to the team. And for that, I do think that it will be Ohara and Kumano getting the win here to set up the tag title shot, as you mentioned. But I definitely have been impressed with Tadasuke. Out of all of them, too, Hayata, Yohei, and him, I think he's my favorite of the Ratel's guys. He's actually my favorite one of the other. Because he seems like a Noah wrestler. You know, the other two seem like indie guys when I watch them, you know. And that's kind of my main problem with them. Even Yohei, he has this bamboo dragonfly finishing move. He never hits it.
No, you know, it always looks terrible.
Yeah, he's got to drop that move, man. It looks so... It's like a cool idea, but it never works. So it's super, super indie.
Much like the early days when AJ Styles tried to hit his moonsault reverse DDT and the spiral tap as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, the moonsault, the style in DDT. Yeah, so that totally agree with you on that one. But Styles, he got better. Maybe Yohei will get better. Tedesuke, he's like a complete package, though. I think he's like a complete finished product.
Yeah.
When it comes to the junior division, big fan.
Big fan too. And we have Cody Hall and Kazuma Sakamoto versus Masao Inoue and Seiya Morohashi. Let's go to the next match.
Listen.
No.
In a way. That's all you need to say about this match.
Special tag match. This is really special. Maybach Taniguchi and Mitsuya Nagai face Kenzo and Jay Bradley.
This is a special match. I will say that.
You know, Kenzo. You know, when I first saw Jay Bradley in IWA Mid-South back in the day, I always thought that this guy had something that could lead him to a Japanese promotion. Now he's here. And if you watch his Twitter, he is completely invested in this opportunity. And he's going to make the best of it. And I'm really looking forward to him working his ass off to secure a spot here.
Yeah, and he's got the chances. You looked at him teaming with Hideki. Yep. You know, this dude, I think I love what he brings to the table from a mental perspective. And I think those are the best kind of foreigner type of people you can bring in, people that are very invested, even considering how Eddie Edwards was. Mm-hmm. He was very invested in being in Noah and the history of the company and the Japanese way. I think that Jay Bradley, he's showing that he has at least a heart for it. We'll see what he brings to the table. I think he's really improved, too, from what little I've seen in these clipped matches. I think he's showing that he is definitely a step above Cody Hall, because they've been teaming a lot in the past. I think Bradley's someone that has a lot that he can bring to the table. I'm a believer in Jay Bradley and Noah.
Me too.
Yeah.
We have Naomichi Marufuji and Atsushi Kotoge against Akitoshi Saito and Shiro Koshinaka, the original Mr. Ass. Should be a win for Kotoge, really, if they are positioning him for a title match down the road. So
there's no reason for it not to be. Yep. You know, like I said, it's not like, you know, Saito needs a win.
No.
So, but
you know, I really like Saito's role in Noah now. He is back with the company since I think 2 years now as a full-time roster member. He is now one of the senior members of the roster, and he is still a name that you consider kind of big because he was part of the big era of Pro Wrestling Noah. And so whenever someone like Atsushi Kotoge beats him, that is an exclamation point on the career of someone like Kotoge.
Yeah, you know, Saito, he's, like you said, this veteran guy in Noah, big heavy hitter type person is kind of his role right now. And, you know, like you said, he's someone that he's most well known to me as a member of the Dark Agents in the past with Inoue. So that tradition still lives on in Noah, the Dark Agents. But also keep in mind too that Marufuji and Kotoge will be a team in the global tag
league
going forward. So I think that could be something they're setting up too if they don't want to give Kotoge a title shot, which I don't know why they wouldn't. He's still very over and a talented wrestler in my opinion. I would love to see him get the win here, just to keep the momentum going from his win against Sugira.
So, then the aforementioned singles match between Goshi Ozaki and Kaito Kiyomiya is happening here. With the recent booking of Kiyomiya, I'm not confident that he's getting a win here.
I expect Go to win, much like you, man. I like Go.
He's been good.
Yeah, go. He's very talented wrestler. Kind of, it's a shame that people have that certain reputation of him, but I really appreciate what he does in the ring. But Kiyomiya really needs this more. If I it were Dylan's Noah, maybe things would be a little different. But it should be a great match, though. I think this will be even better than what he brought out against Mara Fuji.
Another interesting match, because after Kiyomiya basically pushed away both Sugiura and Kenno after his loss to Kenno, Goshi Ozaki was the one to kind of protect him from getting his ass whooped by Kenno and Sugiura. And those two are now also teaming in the Global Tag League, but before that, they are facing each other.
Yeah, and I will say, too, another thing about Noah booking right now is that I feel like this reshuffling has kind of... I think they could have done a... I mentioned this on a previous episode, that I think the stables could use a lot of reformatting. And they're doing it in a really kind of ass way, to be honest with you. Like, it's like Go and Kotoge are this longtime team, and now Go's just with Kiyomiya now, and Kotoge is back with Mara Fuji. Mm-hmm. So... I think there could have been more to it than how they've done it. I would have liked to have seen more to it than that.
Yep. We have four title matches, first of which is the Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title. Double X, Taichi Ishimori and Hiroki defend against the veteran team of Yoshinari Ogawa and Minoru Tanaka. So, Double X, they have only regained the championship in late January, so I can't really see them losing the belts though so soon again, or can you?
Yeah, no, there's no reason for them to lose the belt so soon again. Ishimori, great talent. They have a lot invested with him in the American side with Impact, too. Mm-hmm. So I think without him in the singles reign, I think this tag title reign will continue. Though I think this match will be really good. Tanaka's been killing it in Noah in the junior scene. I think the interactions between him and Ishimori are just going to be spectacular. I would love to see if they had a singles match sooner rather than later.
Yeah,
because I think they're gonna really break out some great stuff.
Yep, they totally have here the ability to do that. Yoshinari Ogawa is in a similar position as Akitoshi Saito in the heavyweight ranks. He still has a name that is considered big, but a victory is fine, and a defeat won't hurt him. So good role for him here too.
You know what? Plus, he seems like he's someone that also really gets a lot of fun in facing the young guys.
You know? Totally. Didn't he recently have this match with Yuta Miyawaki where he won in 29 seconds or something like that?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, there was a match like that.
Well, a lot of good programs down the line with Minoru Tanaka. You mentioned it. He hit a 450 on this February 2nd show. He still has a lot in him, a lot in his tank, so I really want to see a junior heavyweight title run somewhere down the line. But for now, we have Daisuke Harada, who had a fantastic match, by the way, with Minoru Tanaka in December.
He's the THC
junior heavyweight champion, defense against Hayata. As we mentioned, he won this number one contendership match against Kumano. Yeah, should be a good match.
Yeah, you know, Hayata, just like I said earlier, he's kind of like an indie guy, really. You know, when you look at Tadasuke,
he is an indie guy.
Well, I mean, he is an indie guy, totally. His style is very indie in look and in wrestling. But in fairness, he did have a good match against Ohara last year when they had that little title feud. And hopefully Harada, he's someone that... He's had so many great matches and so many great performances. This title reign is super underrated when you look at it, the goings-on in Japan. His match against Tadasuke was great. His match against Tanaka was just incredible. And he's someone that could have a four and a half star, quote-unquote, type of match at any given moment. I think he's one of the best pure in-ring talent, not necessarily character-wise, although I like his Rattel's gimmick, too. But in terms of pure in-ring talent, Harada is one of the top guys, I feel like, especially in the company of Noah. He really brings it to the table. I expect this match will be very good, even though Hayata is too indie for my liking.
Listen, Hayata, he's the definition of an indie guy. Because he is, I think he still is, at least I think he is, still the DAF Pro heavyweight champion.
You cannot get more advanced than Doug Pearl.
You can't. You can't. Yeah, so we have another title match with the heavyweight tag team titles. As on this card, the 50 Funky Powers, Mohamed Yone and Quiet Storm defend against The Aggression, Katsuhiko Nakajima and Masaki Tamiya. I gotta say, tag team reign of Quiet Storm and Mohamed Yone has been okay. The title match against Maybach and Nagai wasn't necessarily that great. And I think that there is potential for a tag title run for Nakajima and Kitamiya, because I don't see any of those two getting a big singles push in the near future, but them as a tag team, as the tag team champions, they could have good matches in the semi main event position here.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you, first of all, about the Funky Powers. Their team, I don't know if you'd agree with this, they reminded me a little bit of, like, when Tama Tonga was in the G1 in New Japan. It's like you have a high ceiling, but a low floor. Mm. It's like you're guaranteed to get a very certain level of performance from them. And, you know, maybe if you're put up against somebody great like Kotage that time in that match or something like that, you might get something a little better than that. But usually it's like a very decent but not standout match. Yeah. And that's kind of how I look at the Funky Powers.
Yeah.
The team of the Aggression, I think this is a perfect time for a tag title challenge, or a tag title change, rather, I would say, for them.
Yeah, nothing more to add to this. They've been doing some interesting build-up to this. I think on one show, Mohamed Yone was KO'd by Katsuhiko Nakajima, and then they also had a match where Nakajima beat Quiet Storm via referee stoppage on the February 22nd match. So they are building Nakajima up as the killer here, which is kind of interesting. And Kitamiya on his side. They're a good team. So, as I mentioned, they probably have a good tag title run in them. But next up is the really interesting one, the heavyweight title match. Are they going to solidify Kenno's reign, or is Takashi Sugiura taking the belt back?
You know, Striga, I don't see any reason why Kenno shouldn't win this match. Sugiura, he's an awesome wrestler. Kenno's an awesome wrestler too, obviously. But Sugiura, to me, he represents Noah. This would be a perfect huge win for Kenno's gimmick that he's running right now over the old generation, quote-unquote. Who represents the original Noah better than Sugiura? He's, you know. So I think this will be an awesome match, first of all. I think it's one of the, not one of, this is my most anticipated match that we're talking about of all of these. Wow. In Noah or any company. I think this match has potential to be really great. Sugiura is one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. I think the way they've built this feud up as these guys hate each other are just going to, these guys are going to tear the house down, in my opinion. I'll be very surprised if I don't love it. And I definitely think Kenno is getting this big win. I think it'll be a meaningful win. A meaningful win on this show, too, because March has traditionally been a big show for Noah in the past. And Kenno's title reign is going to be completely solidified with this win, in my opinion, Striga. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this match as well. I think it's going to be a great match and another one that really puts Kenno over as a main event guy in Pro Wrestling Noah. And for that sake, he should really win this match and be the dominant champion that a company like Noah really needs right now. And yeah, with him promising to go back to Budokan or to bring back Noah to Budokan. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. Probably not. But he is someone that the crowd is really responding to. We talked about it when he won the title from Eddie Edwards, how the crowd reacted to that. We talked about it when he won the Global League, how the crowd reacted to that. He has a connection with the crowd, and they have to continue to continue with him on top, because he right now is the guy, and going back to Sugiura wouldn't be the right thing right now, I think. So Fist King should still reign supreme after this show.
Yeah, you want to talk about last year when Nakajima was around this time of his title reign?
No.
It felt like this was the time that it felt like things definitely were not working, in my opinion. See, he faced Go, and that was a great match, but it felt like things definitely weren't working with him as champion. Here with Kenno, this definitely feels like it is working, and you saw it with the sellout against Kiyomiya. There's plenty of legs left on Kenno as the champion. No reason at all to change it here. I would be surprised if something like this would result in any kind of doubt, but I think they're just going to hit each other really hard and have a great match. That's my prediction for this match as well, because I think the finish, if they go to Sugiura, then this company is entering Wrestle 1 during Kai era territory, in my opinion, because that would be a big mistake. No offense to Sugiura, who I love.
Yeah, and another point why I think Kenno is still going to be on top is he's having his 10th anniversary show in March 21st in Tokushima. I think it's his hometown. He is going to face Masaki Tamiya at this show, and he really should be the champion standing on top, winning this 10th anniversary match in his hometown at this big show, because this isn't WWE after all.
Yeah. So let's hope that no one's not adopt that kind of booking. Let's just say.
And just one final thought on Pro Wrestling Noah before we wrap it up here for this week. We have the Global Tag League coming up, starting March 18, running all through April 11. We have the still reigning GHC Tag Team Champions, the 50 Funky Powers, in this tournament. And then we have Kenno and Takashi Sugiura, still very interesting. Naomi Chimaro Fuji and Atsushi Kotoge, Katsuhiko Nakajima and Masaki Tamiya, Goshi Ozaki and Kaito Kiyomiya, Akitoshi Saito and Masao Inoue, Maibach Taniguchi and Mitsuya Nagai, and Cody Hall and Kazuma Sakamoto. Well, there are certainly going to be some interesting matches in this tournament, but otherwise, this pretty much is a tournament that is happening.
Yeah, like I said, it doesn't have the hype of the champion carnival or anything like that, unfortunately, or the straw climb. But, you know, like I said, if they wanted to build to a tag title shot with Kotage and Marufuji, they can. You have Go and Kiyomiya. Last year, Kotage and Go actually made it to the finals of the tournament during all that time, so I think they're a very good choice as well to be in the finals or potentially win. And to me, Kenno and Sugiura would be my favorite. Not the favorite to win, but my favorite of the teams, because I think that dynamic could be very fun.
Yeah,
going forward. I think it should be a fun tournament.
Because let's talk about this. Because if the Aggression beats 50 Funky Powers in Yokohama on March 11, and then Sugiura and Kenno go on to win the Global Tag League, we would have the Aggression versus Sugiura and Kenno program in the summer.
That would be awesome.
That would
be
great.
It would set up title shots too for the singles title. So nothing wrong with that if they wanted to do that. But yeah, I think Kotage and Marufuji too could be there if they don't want to give Kotage a title shot.
Yeah.
That fast.
Exactly. Yeah. Except for that, very interesting in Pro Wrestling Noah is the debut of Hideki Suzuki here at the February 22nd show, where he teamed with Jay Bradley. They lost to Maro Fuji and Atsushi Kotoge. And Hideki Suzuki kind of talked about that he's going to team with guys like Jay Bradley and with Cody Hall. And he also showed interest in wrestling Kaito Kiyomiya. So this seems to be something that they've planned out, and Hideki Suzuki seems to be in for more matches in Noah.
Yeah, I thought that right away. I thought it would be just weird to have him do a one-off match.
Yeah.
That didn't make a lot of sense to me when people were saying that. But I'm sure he'll be around doing a lot of fun stuff. I still think this is building up to a Global League appearance, and before that, since he's not in the tag league, I think he'll continue to do these matches with Bradley and maybe Cody Hall, like you said, like he said as well. So I think it's just something that he'll do some fun stuff and then really show out when he gets these singles matches that he can have. I would love to see him face guys like Kiyomiya or anything. I think there's a lot of great matches. Hideki, my favorite wrestler in the world right now, and he will add a lot to Noah if they let him unleash when it comes to Hideki Suzuki.
Right on. Yeah. That's basically it for those three groups we wanted to talk about here on this show. A lot of exciting stuff coming up for all these three companies, New Japan, All Japan, and Pro Wrestling Noah. They're trying out different things. They're trying out new stuff. So it's going to be pretty interesting what they present in March and in April. Yeah, that's from the two of us. You can find us, of course, on Twitter if you want to discuss anything. I'm on Twitter at Strigger, and Dylan is on Twitter at Dylan0Sky. But you can also reach us through email if you have a question. You can send an email to japan@mlw.com.
And we love the questions from all the people. That's one of my favorite parts of the show is answering questions and talking to people. So please, even on Twitter, please send us messages and talk to us. We love it. We love talking about Japanese wrestling. And please also listen to, let me plug my other show on the network, Lucha Talk. Well, we just released an episode earlier this week. Some interesting things going on in AAA, some truly horrendous wrestling in AAA every week that I have to watch.
I was just going to say, how is this any kind of news?
This is not news, but I think it's played a role in making my eyes bleed even more than usual. after the thumb to the eye, but
just have to work harder.
Yeah, I just have to work harder. But CML has tag team titles tournaments. Dos Leyendas coming up soon. We talked about Mil Máscaras getting honored at the Dos Leyendas show. So lots of fun there when it comes to that. Mil Máscaras has a great legacy in Japanese wrestling, too, back in the 70s, 60s, 70s, and even a little bit in the 80s, too. So everybody check out that show. Check us out on Twitter. And, yeah, I think that's about it, Strig.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We love to talk about Japanese wrestling. We love to talk about it here. We love to talk about it on Twitter. And we also love that you listened to this show. So thank you for listening. And goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLWRadio.com network.